Merry Christmas. Tell someone Merry Christmas next to you, would you? I've told two people that I'm gonna be brief this morning in sharing, and one said it'd be a Christmas miracle. And the other one said, "Are you really? Really?" So time me. I'm in awe of God. There's not enough words, there's not enough songs to describe His majesty. So we're going to try to talk about, I'm going to try to talk about God became flesh. Thanks, Jeff. I thought you alone would support me, one person. Brother, I'm going to go long now just because of that. Everyone, blame Jeff. Go with me to John chapter 1. And then we're going to be in his epistle, 1 John chapter 1. And he starts both of his letters with this thought about in the beginning. And there's such a depth of theology here that it would take a long time to describe it, actually. In fact, theologians have wrestled with the Trinity and what John starts with for thousands of years. They've wrestled with this. So we're going to discover it and figure it out in 10 minutes today. But John writes in John chapter 1. Let's read these. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4 and then 10 through 14. And then we'll be in 1 John 1, 1 through 4. And you'll hear the similarities as he introduces his letters. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." Now go with me to verse 10. "He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now let's look at real quick, 1 John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." John, in these few verses, speaks of an incredible truth that before there was anything on the earth, before there was light, before there was life, before there was anything else, God the Father, God the Word, and God the Spirit existed. And God the Father, and God the Word, and God the Spirit, I know this is might make our heads hurt. I've been studying this for years, and it still makes my head hurt. But I love to be challenged by God. Theology is the study of God. And if we can figure Him out that fast, He's not a very big God. But he makes us dive deep and drill down into some realities. And John does it here by saying, before there was anything, they existed. And before anything ever existed, God had a plan to redeem humankind. That before there was Adam, before there was Eve, before there was light, before there was creepy things that creepeth on the earth, before any of this took place, the Trinity had come together in council, in love, and determined a plan to redeem humankind, because they knew before there was creation, before there was life, before there was light, they knew that man would sin and they would need a Savior. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh. And next Saturday, the whole world pauses and they identify Jesus Christ. Excuse me, the Word became flesh. And I know it's been commercialized and I know it's been tried to be hijacked, but the world still stops and they recognize a Savior came to the earth. And for that I rejoice. How many Black Fridays there are, it doesn't matter. We still identify a Savior came to this earth. And so when Adam and Eve came to this earth, and we're going to go through Genesis through Revelation here today in a few minutes. That's pretty good teaching. Adam and Eve, when Eve disobeyed God's word, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree, that belongs to me, that's exclusive to me, and Eve took of the fruit and ate. The rebellion that disobedience brought from the word, it just destroyed relationships. Relationships between man and God, with each other, and with our earth. It destroyed it. It obliterated it. It just devastated God's plan for humankind. But before that happened, God already knew it would happen, and a plan was in place. In essence, God didn't say, let's go back to the whiteboard and figure this out. Jesus coming to the earth was not his plan B. It was his plan from the beginning. How amazing is our God? How marvelous are his deeds? How gracious are his ways that God put into place the plan of salvation. And John says, the word became flesh. Think about that for a moment. God became a baby. The one who filled the universe, the one who was there when the stars were spoken into existence, the one who was there that was part of the creation story, the one who filled the universe, limited himself to this. He became this, the one who was everywhere at the same time, the one who was all powerful became this. Why? That was the plan. The plan was for God to become one of us. And I love the Message Bible, where the Message Bible says, and the word became flesh and blood, and he moved into our neighborhood. I love that. Why is that important? It's important because Jesus now understands everything we as human beings will ever go through. Jesus gets it. He's not the distant deity, all-powerful God, the one who fills the universe. He became just like us so that he understands what it's like to celebrate a birthday. He knew what it was like to enjoy the feasts of Israel. And to dance. Can you see a 10-year-old Jesus dancing around? Could you see him playing Israel's and Palestinians instead of, never mind. It's not politically correct today. My apologies. He enjoyed friendships. He understood physical labor. He was a carpenter. I wonder if he ever smashed his thumb with a hammer and went, oh my me. Did he get a splinter that had to, you know, his mom had to get, he understood this. He understood what it was like to lose a parent. Because his dad somewhere in his life died. He understood what it was like to help his mom, who now was a mom with kids but without a husband. He also understood what it was like to have one of his closest followers betray him with a kiss. He knew what it was like when his closest friends, they swore fidelity to him, and yet with the moment he needed them the most, they all disappeared. And he also knows what it is to die. And the Bible says that he tasted death for all of us. So there is not one thing you and I will ever go through in your life where God doesn't say, I don't get it. Why? Because he moved into our lives. He moved into our neighborhood. And that is pretty awe-inspiring that the Almighty, all-powerful God said, I'm going to come into this form. And I'm going to live in this form. And I'm going to die in this form. But I'm also going to be raised from the dead. And here's what I've been thinking about for the last couple weeks. And it's been wrecking me. Jeff was talking about it. It's been wrecking my heart. And I don't know if I can even describe it correctly, but I'm going to give it my best shot, okay? The one, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, God the Word who filled the universe. He became flesh. And he never went back to his original form as the Word. Forever he gave up his original form, and forever he is going to be living in flesh, even glorified flesh, even flesh that is radiant, as John says in Revelation, his eyes are white, are red like fire, hair white as wool. This radiant God, this all-powerful God, forever gave up his original form for us. And he became us forever. He didn't return back to who he was in the beginning. For you and I, so that we might touch him and know him. Like John says, for us, when we see him, John says, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he is in human form forever for you and I. And you notice in Luke, the angel says, and you shall call his name. What was it? What's his name? It's Jesus. Emmanuel's close. We're good. We're on the same page. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Do you notice that we don't sing songs like, Word, Word, there's just something about that name? Do you recognize that we don't say, In the name of Word? And though Jesus will forever be Word, the Word of God, his form has been changed and his name has forever been changed from the Word to Jesus. So now we pray in the name of Jesus. Now we sing about Jesus. Why? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us forever. He became Jesus. But that's not who he was in the beginning. Does God love you? Absolutely, that the one who filled the universe would take on this forever for you is remarkable. That when we see him one day, we shall see him face to face. Why? Because he never gave up the flesh he took on when the Bible says, and the Word became flesh. I love that. Ring. Adam and Eve disobeyed, so a sacrifice had to be made. An animal was killed to clothe their shame. And throughout from Genesis through Revelation, God has weaved his story of redemption. It didn't start on the night Jesus was born. It didn't begin at his birth. It began before Genesis, before Let There Be Light. God's story of redemption. And if you look for it, if you really search for it, you can see his story of redemption that was done before the creation of the world. If the redemption story is being weaved throughout Genesis and Exodus and on throughout the Bible, you see the story of God's plan to what? have fellowship with us again, to restore relationship. What was destroyed by Adam and Eve, God says, we have a plan in place to deal with that, and I want my people to know about it, and that's why there are the feasts, and that's why there are the celebrations, and that's why we have the prophets, and that's why we have all these people telling us and showing us God's plan to bring us back into relationship with him. What was destroyed by man, God, through man, restored, so that we might have fellowship, not only with God the Father, God the Son, but dear ones, it is supposed to restore the relationship with each other. And it's supposed to restore the relationship with us and the earth. So what we see in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, speaking of Jesus, it says this, the Lamb who is slain at the creation of the world. So it doesn't mean that Jesus is being slain over and over and over again. It's from the very beginning. John, in his gospel, in his epistle, and in his revelation, he recognizes in the beginning was the Word, and that the Lamb was slain before the creation of the world. That God's plan of redemption was already put in place. And God's desire is for you and I to truly see it, because when we truly see it, we stand in awe. So turn to Matthew chapter 1. God's plan of redemption is shown to us in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Do you see his plan of redemption? You find it also in Luke chapter 3. So what Israel always looked for, because in Genesis 37, there was a promise to Judah, one of Israel's 12 children. And the promise was this, from the scepter shall never leave Judah. Judah is going to reign forever. And then we also have a promise, I think it's in 2 Kings 8, where David gets a promise from God, where God says to David, you shall have one of your descendants sit on your throne forever. So these are two qualifications. How do we know that Jesus fits these qualifications? We find it in the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew does through Joseph, Luke does through Mary, to prove that Jesus Christ came from the lineage of Judah and also the lineage of David. But that's not all this does. And I've been thinking about this for years. And this week I looked and I was going to do a whole word study of every name. But I found somebody who did it much better than I ever could. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to watch a video of the genealogy of Jesus. It's about 8 minutes long. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you all, we're going to go back into songs of worship. Why? Because whenever people got it in the New Testament, they worshiped. So what do we see of the angels at the proclamation of Jesus' coming? The heavens filled with angels. Revelation tells us it's over 100 million showed up that night to sing praise to God. Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace to whom his favor rests. What do we see of the Magi, the story? The Magi travel from miles and miles and for months and months. And these weren't like three kings with the camels. These were king makers. These men traveled with a cavalry, an army, and resources. These men came, no wonder Herod was afraid, because these men came like an army looking for the King of Kings. And when they found the King of Kings, these men of great power and authority, these men who would choose kings over nations, they bowed down and they worshiped a child. And they gave their gifts. Simeon and Anna have been in the temple for decades. And Simeon gets a promise from God. Your eyes will see the reconciliation of Israel before you die. And so one day, Joseph and Mary is bringing Jesus into the temple. And out of thousands of people who are in the temple, Simeon sees the baby and he walks toward Mary and Joseph and he takes the baby and he says, Lord, dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen the reconciliation of Israel. And he worshiped. And Anna, who had been a widow for decades, she comes to Mary and sees the Christ child, and she worships him and says, prophecy to Mary, prophecy about Joseph, about Jesus' life, and then she worships the child. Look at, when we understand the plan, when we get it, all that God has done, the only thing we really can do is worship. We understand. Ha! I've been wrecked, and that's okay. So, this video is called The Lineage of Majesty. If you're online, I don't know if we can show it or not, but you can YouTube it. YouTube it if not. The Lineage of Majesty. And it's taken from the genealogy found in Matthew and the genealogy found in Luke. And then I'm gonna come back up. I have the worship team will come up after this. And we are going to end our time in worship. Let's go ahead and play the video.
Prophetic lineage of Jesus Christ. This is 77 generations. In the Hebrew names of all of these people that you see in this list, they all have Hebrew meaning. That's the amazing thing about the Hebrew naming system is they're like sentences. They say something. So what I did is I basically said this lineage is a picture of Jesus. That's what it is. He is the seed. I did it two ways. From Adam through David, through Solomon, down through Joseph to Jesus. And then I did Adam through David over to Nathan and down through Mary to Jesus. I would like you to just listen. Behold the power of our God. This is extraordinary. He will be the last Adam, standing redemptively in the place of another. The people of this earth are his possession, and for the praise of God, he has come down to make a way. When he dies, there will be an outpouring. His death will be as a weapon. He is brought low that he may prove powerful. He will bring rest and will be a resting place. His name will be famous among those who have been cut off from the breast and bound in the enemy's stronghold. For he calls them his possession. He will enter this earth as a tender shoot, as one from the heavenly region. He will divide even the closest friends. He will be a branch burning with resolve when he takes up residence here. He will be the father of a multitude, the chief of a mighty host. He laughs at the deceiver and supplanter and overcomes. He shall be praised, and the breach he will fortify and close and wall in. He is exalted, the royal seed who will crush the head of the hissing enchanter. Crush the head of the hissing enchanter. So now let's go down to the royal lineage. This is through David, down through Solomon, through Joseph, and to Jesus. He will be a covering of garments, and in him is strength. He will come serving to make wealthy his beloved and bring peace and enlarge for himself a people. He will say, Jehovah is my father. He will be harmed but then healed, hurt but then made whole. It will be said that he, God, is judged, and he, God, is exalted. He will prove the strength of God and the perfection of God. He will possess in his hand the power of God, and though he is forgotten of his people, he will prove a master builder and divinely heal them. And he, God, will set and make strong those who ask of God, those born in captivity. He will say, my father is majesty. He will be raised up by God to be a helper, to be the righteous one. God will raise him up for God's praise, majesty, and splendor. He will be the help of God, a gift. And to the heel-grabbing supplanter, he will exchange out life for death and bring God's salvation. The blood lineage. This is Nathan down through Mary and then to Jesus. He will be a covering, a garment, and in his strength he will come serving to make wealthy his beloved and give the gift of God. He declares to those under the enchantment that they are his dearest object of care and that he will raise them up. He will be the giver of grace, life in exchange for death. They will praise God who hearken unto him and join to him in covenant. Those who receive the gift of God, the one whom God has exalted, will find the help and salvation of God. They will be sustained by God, be quickened, made awake, and made alive. He will be measured according to the king's divine oracles. He will be adorned as king. He will be a heavenly light unto all who ask of God, and those born in captivity he will heal and give grace. He shall be praised, for he gives life in exchange for death. To those who hearken the good tidings, he gives the gift of God unto the small. He is the bright light unto those whose eyes are fixed on God. He is a consolation and comfort unto the burdened. The gift of God is life in exchange for death. It's the violent action of the king in order to join in covenant. The gift of God raises us to heavenly heights and gives life and liberty in exchange for death and rebellion and brings us God's salvation. Awe. That's the lineage of majesty. Mary's name means rebellious. Where will the seed of God be born? He'll be born in a woman whose name is rebellious. This is amazing. Eve, she rebelled. She ate of the fruit. She turned against the word of God and she rebelled. What does Mary do? Mary is the true woman whom the seed of God was born in. But her name means rebellious. And yet God in this whole thing rectifies that which was wrong in the garden. He uses a woman and corrects it all. We are the bride of Christ. Be it unto me according to thy will. And we turn and believe. And then the life of God is born in us, in the rebellious. And there is redemption that is brought. And that which comes forth out of the rebellious is pure and holy and righteous. He is taking that which went wrong and he is restoring it in and through the womb of a woman. And by the way, we are to be that virgin in which the life of Christ is born afresh. We are to be the habitation of God through which the seed, the fruition of God, comes forth into this earth. Yes, we are the rebellious. But we have the privilege of giving rise and life to the Messiah and saying, I, the rebellious, need what you, the perfect, have done to restore and to rectify and to redeem that which the enemy has destroyed. I turn to you. I want us to stand back in awe and wonder at the majesty of our God. Yes, it's impossible, but he loves the impossible. And he has done the impossible all over again. In and through us.
Worship team, the worship team will come. My wife and I, when we named our children, we had no idea that their names would be Beloved Faithful Savior. We have 77 generations that God oversaw the names to tell us the story. He's awesome. Would you stand with me this morning? I've listened to great movements of music, and it's brought me to tears, just the beauty of it. I've watched human beings do amazing things, and I would stand and celebrate and clap. And I'm going to ask you this morning, it's not whatever condition your soul is right now. You might be going through tough stuff. Can we lay that aside right now and just be in awe of the one? And that might mean you want to come forward and offer your gift of worship to the Lord. But I'm going to ask everyone in this room, wherever you're at, your journey, to respond to this. awesome God who loved you so much, he became flesh for you and me. Would you lead us in a couple songs of just awe? Thank you, guys.
We're just going to sing I Stand in Awe.
I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, who all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. So my heart will sing, how great is our God. Sing the name above all names. You're the name above all names, and worthy of all praise. So my heart will sing, how great is our God. So you are good. You are good, and you're loving. You are good, and you're loving. You are good, and you're loving.
Part of our worship takes place through song. Just like today when we mention the word, we think of the Bible. We think of a word that was given. But the name originally was God. He's still the word in human flesh. So a number of years ago, I taught this lesson. What do you give the man who has everything? Thank you. because it's actually Jesus' birthday. What do you give Jesus that he doesn't already have? And there's only one thing he wants, and it's you. He did all of this for you. And whether it's the first time where something is resonating in your heart that says, yeah, or this is the 100th time. Throughout my life, I say, God, I'm all yours. And I've been doing it every morning for the last 2 weeks. The first thing I say is, I'm all in. And I'm broken. And I've got areas of my life that are still under work. And I've also got some gifts. And I also have some abilities. But I'm all in. Because that's why you came for me. So I'm going to ask Echo Hills family, whether it's the first time, the second time, the 100th time, can we offer our worship by saying, I'm all in. Can you just, if you can say those words, could you just lift your hands, not to me, but to the one who became flesh and we give him our worship by giving him our lives. So Lord, we worship you with our lives. Stand in awe of the plan that we might have fellowship with you and with one another. And the rest of our lives are yours, lived out every day. That we enter into this season by giving only gift we can really give to you is us. And we trust you, the one who started the plan. We trust that he who began the good work in us be faithful to bring it to completion until that glorious day when we will see you face to face. And our hearts long to be with you because that's what we were made for. We were made for you. Take us just as we are with our gifts, our talents, our brokenness, our joys, our sorrows, our friendships, our work, our money, everything, because Jesus, that's how you lived while on earth. Bills to pay, jobs to go to, family relationships to work through, friendships to navigate, parties to celebrate, harsh words. How do you deal with betrayal? How do you deal with false accusations? What do you do, Lord? You've experienced it all. and you invite us into that intimate place of relationship. But you won't force your way in. You invite us. And this morning, December 19th, 2021, we just simply say yes. And if you're saying yes this morning, would you acknowledge that by simply saying yes and amen? Would you turn to someone next to you? And would you tell them, I'm all in? Come on, tell them, I'm all in. I'm all in. Merry Christmas. You have just given the greatest gift that you could ever give. Because there's only one of you. You're very rare. Jeff, do you have anything else? We'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock. Merry Christmas. Love on somebody. Enjoy the day. God bless you.